Joyful blessings. This is Kaylin Castile with a look at week 3 of the September 2015 celestial timings. And we're going to start with September 15th when the waxing moon is passing Mercury. By the evening, it'll be, you know, that crescent moon just after the new moon will be visible above Mercury. Mercury, as I said, is not so easy to see, and it's just about to station retrograde. So if you have a low horizon and you can see into the glow of the sunset, you might be able to see Mercury, but you'll definitely see the crescent moon. However, we can just kind of tune in because, again, the moon is a transmitter. It amplifies and transmits the messages, and Mercury's the messenger. So, and has to do with our thinking and our perception and how we communicate. So what's coming through at this particular time? And this is happening in Libra. Mercury's at 15, almost 16 degrees Libra. So this really is about how we think and how we communicate and having discernment about what we're speaking about and what we're thinking about, and knowing that we do have choice. So if our thoughts are going in a direction that isn't really supportive to us, we can choose to think differently. Now, this is different from feelings, because feelings are just what they are. Now, sometimes we think into our emotions. Feelings are deeper than emotions. And as I've said many times, emotions are things that happen from the outside in. Something happens in our environment. We experience a reaction or emotions related to that. And it can be, you know, wonderfully joyous, or it can be, you know, very challenging. Where we have choice is what we think about it. and sometimes we just have to, you know, be in the feeling of it before we can get to the place where we can start choosing how we are going to see it. But we can reframe often anything that's happening to us. And instead of maybe feeling like victim, we can reframe it to see it as an opportunity, as an initiation, as a, you know, something that is helping to bring awareness and insight to us. So the moon will be definitely amplifying that. And then on the 16th, the moon is going to pass Spica, the star that has to do with the goddess energy, the most powerful star of the divine feminine in the sky, one that ancients used for ceremony and honoring the goddess when Venus wasn't visible in the sky. Now, right now, Venus is visible in the morning sky and Spica is visible in the evening sky. So there's the opportunity to work with that, the divine feminine energy, both in the morning and the evening. So if we think about Spica in the constellation of the Virgin Priestess, she is one of the Bohemian stars. So whenever a planet is near Spica, then the ancient alchemists would use that time to make their talismans, their potions, their elixirs, or, you know, their invocations, their intentions. So this is a great time to do that, even though we won't see the exact conjunction on the night of the 15th and 16th. On the night of the 15th, we'll see the moon approaching Spica, and on the night of the 16th, we'll see the moon beyond Spica. So any time during that time would be a time to work with that particular energy. And then on the 17th, we're going to have Mercury station retrograde at 11:09 a.m. Pacific time. And again, we're in the still point of the Mercury cycle. The messenger is, crossed over certain star patterns, is now going to, from the Earth's perspective, appear to stop and retrace steps. And I always think of this as like going back for a deeper look at, you know, looking at that, what, if you're walking along and, you know, you see something that you maybe catch out of the corner of your eye and you're like, whoa, I want to go back and check that out. I think of retrograde sometimes as being like that, and going back to check it out for a deeper look. So this retrograde, this Mercury retrograde, will last until October 9th. On October 9th, we'll begin a new Mercury synodic cycle in Libra. And this is all about the mysteries of how are we revisioning conscious equal partnership, relationship with ourselves, with others? How are we relating to the parts of ourselves that are within us? And are we giving them all voice? Are we paying attention to all the parts of ourselves and honoring the gifts and the insights that that these parts bring? And then one of the ways we can tune in to see that is, do we listen to what other people have to say to us? Are we listening to what's going on around us? Because that lets us know how well are we listening to what's going on within us as well. So on September 18th, Saturn is going to re-enter Sagittarius. It entered Sagittarius late last year, and then retrograded back into Scorpio. So it's finally making its exit out of Scorpio for the next 29 and a half years, and will be re-entering Sagittarius, where it will be for the next couple of years. And so this is powerful for anybody who has early degrees of Sagittarius, Pisces, Virgo, or Gemini, because you've been in a Saturn cycle, and this will represent that completion phase of that particular cycle. This is me. I have a Saturn in early degree Sagittarius, so it will represent the completion. In another couple of weeks, it'll be the exact passing over the exact point of my Saturn. And so that'll be the final piece of the Saturn return that I've been, seems like forever. But it won't be done, because then I have the North Node in Sagittarius and then the Moon's in Sagittarius. And so I get to go continue on with the Saturn journey. And part of the opportunity is to have Saturn as an ally. Saturn, and this is part of how we listen to the different parts of ourselves. Saturn is the one that wants to help us organize, get things done, you know, do what we need to do to create a healthy structure for our life. And if the structure isn't working, then what do you need to create, or what do you need to dismantle and let go of so that something new can come in, so something new can be created? Do you need to, like, if you think about the home you live in, or the place you live, is it suit your needs? It's a structure. Is it big enough for you? Is it too big for you? Is it in the right place? If you have a home, you might, you know, that I've actually used this analogy in people in their Saturn return. You might bulldoze it and rebuild, or you might find a new place, or you might you might start from scratch and rebuild. But in any case, it's a lot of work. So Saturn, that's why Saturn cycles are so classically known for it being a time of a lot of work, because it's whenever we're, like, even if we're just remodeling our space, that's a lot of work. So that's what Saturn's about. But once the new structure is put into place, and that can be around a belief system, that can be around a lifestyle, that can be around the place you live. I just use the place you live as a very solid imagery. And so this is the time to be really looking at that. And I have been looking at things. I am restructured in my life. And one of those things is that I actually am going to be phasing out the paid version of the Celestial Timings. I'm going to be keeping a little bit going in a free version, but I am creating the space so I can write a book. So if I keep writing the timings, I won't be able to have the time to write the book, because it just takes me so much time to do that every month. So I will be sharing more about the phasing out, but by the end of this year, into early next year, is the time that I'm anticipating being complete. I haven't completely figured all that out yet, but this is something that's very challenging for me, because I've been writing the Celestial Timings for 19 years, since 1996, almost 20 years. And so to let this go, which has been a huge part of my learning, it's a ceremony for me. Every month when I sit down to write the timings, I'm invoking possibilities. I'm invoking a way to look at this imagery. So to not do that, to not do that is going to be crazy. But I'll probably still do some audios for a while, and we'll see. I haven't completely worked out all the details, and I actually didn't think I was going to share that right now, but here it is. Saturn going back into Sagittarius was just tapping me on the shoulder and saying it's time. And by speaking it, I am making it more real. I've already removed the re-sign up for celestial timings off of my website, and so for the paid version of the timings, so you can still get the free. And I will still do, as I said, I still do some kind of free version once I am phased out. But I need to complete with all of you that are paid subscribers, and I'm trying to figure out what is the best, most integrous way to do that. So stay tuned, and I will keep you posted. On September 19th, the moon is going to pass Antares, the heart star of the Scorpion, and always one of the Bohemian stars, and always something worth paying attention to, and it's near first quarter moon. So something to see in the evening sky and to tune into and to see what transmission comes through you, especially as you're tuning into the wisdom of your own heart. And then on September 20th, Venus is going to reach its greatest magnitude in this morning star appearance. She's going to be -4.5 magnitude. Now, remember, magnitude, the lower the number, the brighter. And from a -3 magnitude to a -4 magnitude is like 100 times brighter. So Venus is definitely the brightest star in our sky, or the brightest planet, or object besides the sun and the moon. Jupiter seems pretty bright, but we've seen Jupiter with Venus recently, and we can see how she totally outshines Jupiter. And of course Mars is there, and she's much, much brighter. I think Mars is still around a 1 magnitude at this time, so visible but not as bright. And then on September 21st, we will have the exact first quarter moon. It's taking place at 28 degrees Sagittarius, which is right at galactic center, and also very near the galactic cross. And on the night of the 21st, you'll see the moon just past the galactic cross in the constellation of the Archer. And but the moon will have already moved into Capricorn, because the exact first quarter moon is happening at 1:59 a.m., just around 2 a.m. in the morning Pacific time, so 5 a.m. Pacific on the East Coast. And then shortly thereafter, the moon moves into Capricorn at 5:33 a.m., won't be visible, but is exactly on the galactic cross at that time. So by the evening, the moon has moved past the galactic cross as well into Capricorn, and energizing a time when it might be good to get organized. Moon in Capricorn is a great time to work with that, to create an action plan, and then to implement that is another way to work with the moon in Capricorn over the next couple of days. So that ends the third week of September 2015.